Hey, back on downtown, it's a Thursday afternoon and time for us to talk a little hockey. To do that, we welcome in Ty Anderson from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Rich, how are we doing today?
Doing very well, thanks. Getting ready for the playoffs. Nothing better than playoff hockey. And, well, for the Bruins at least, nothing better than knowing they won't play any more bad teams the rest of the season, because that doesn't work out so well.
Yeah, it's really been interesting, right? Is like they tend to get up for the good teams and then they play down to the level of the bad teams. And I think what you saw in game 82 was a little bit of, you know, I don't know if quiet quitting is the right word, but maybe playing not to get hurt, you know, trusting that your third and fourth line guys could handle the load and win you that game. You kind of saw it, right? The first 40 minutes of that game, it was a heavy dosage of your fourth line guys, your third pairing guys, you know, guys still fighting for their ice time. Or you know, their spot in the game one lineup per se, but you know, and then they're down 2-0 after 40 minutes, and then the third period, okay, it's 23 shots on goal, and it's the first line pretty much the entire period. So I think you saw a little bit of a conservative approach, didn't lead to a win, but at that point, I think they kind of knew they were going to get a good team no matter who it was, you know, Tampa or Toronto, and they let it fall where it may, and it just happened to fall on Toronto.
Jim Montgomery said the team is focusing on, quote, improving habits and details. What habits do they need to really work on improving heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think their checking game, that's been a staple when they're winning. You know, they have really good, you know, separation in terms of closing gaps, not letting odd man rushes develop, things of that nature. And at the other end, it's generating second chance opportunities. You know, this is not a possession team. They have to find ways to extend possession, and you have to win your battles to do that. You know, you can't be a one and done kind of team, because there's not a lot of guys on this roster who will bury their first chance. You know, you have David Pastrnak, you have Brad Marchand, and you know, that's kind of it. The rest of the roster really needs to kind of focus on winning their battles, generating, you know, that wearing down and tenderizing the opponent to get better, higher quality chances. So I think that's kind of what he's talking about with that, you know, and when you play that kind of game, you know, you draw more penalties. You're just playing with an advantage more than you are when you're, you know, kind of just trying to do this one and done, you know, hope and a prayer kind of game in the offensive zone. And so I think that's kind of what he's talking about when he mentions that, you know, like their success of late has been because of their three-zone commitment and how they've stayed on top of guys and on top of pucks and won their fair share of battles. And you didn't really see that in games 81 and 82.
It's hard for me to believe this, and you have to deal with it on a daily basis, that there are still people out there who want to make the claim that David Pastrnak is not an elite player.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, it really does kind of shock my system when you know, you watch David Pastrnak every game, every night. You watch how good he is, how creative he is, and how he's really carried this team basically all season from an offensive standpoint. You know, he's factored in on like almost 50% of their scoring as a team. I mean, that's just remarkable, right? And so, yes, he has flaws, but then again, so does every player in the league. You know, there's very few players you look at and say, oh, you know, they don't have this or that wrong with them, or they can't do this, you know, like. And so with David Pastrnak, I think the complaints about him, sometimes I think you're kind of glossing over the actual issue with the Bruins, which is, you know, we go back to late March where Jim Montgomery called out his team and basically said, we need to play better. We're not playoff ready. You know, guys need to step up and understand what is in front of them. You know, over that span, the Bruins have scored 13 goals with David Pastrnak on the ice. This is the even strength, not all situations. In the 300 and something other minutes with him on the bench, they scored just 7 goals. So the issue is not David Pastrnak. The issue is guys below David Pastrnak and his line mates not carrying their weight, and then basically saying, you know, the fans have to look at it and say, well, David Pastrnak has to carry us to victory. Well, okay, well, if that doesn't happen, that's not really his fault necessarily. You got to have better support. And so I think that's kind of where the people who complain about Pastrnak, I think that's kind of where they lose the sight of the greater picture, so to speak, when it comes to his struggle.
Well, playoff hockey is always different, but the Bruins have certainly had great success this year and really extending into last season against the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, they've won 7 straight against Toronto. Actually, if you go back to their last loss against Toronto, it was the infamous Mitch Miller weekend where, you know, the Bruins signed Mitch Miller and the team was, you know, pretty ticked off about it and made it known. And you know, I don't think their focus was on the game that day. I really don't. I think there was a lot of extenuating circumstances and factors, you know, namely the management team going above the players who basically said, we don't want this guy. Don't sign him. And so that was a crazy weekend for the Bruins as an organization. So, you know, since then they've won 7 straight games against them. If we look at the season series this year, the Bruins were fantastic against Toronto. They doubled them up in goals scored versus goals against. Their power play clicked at 30%. You know, like they were phenomenal against Toronto this year. And Toronto, I will say this, this is the best iteration of Toronto that the Bruins are going to play. You know, we go back to 2013, 2018, 2019. This current Leafs team, this is the best version of the Maple Leafs that the Bruins are going to see. I will say that. So, you know, it's a battle of two flawed teams, you know, like every team in the playoffs. There's a flaw there. But, you know, the Bruins have taken care of business against Toronto this year for sure.
So what's the key to keeping this going in the playoffs against Toronto?
I think just, you know, kind of what we talked about earlier in terms of, like, you know, you win your fair share of battles against this defense and you extend possession, you extend your zone time. You know, the longer Toronto is in their own end, the more prone they are to a mistake that ends up in the back of their net. You know, they don't have great goaltending. Their defense is a bit battered right now. They don't have Mark Giordano. He's not going to be playing. So, you know, that's a noticeable loss there. That's a veteran guy who's not going to be playing. And then you sort of look at, you know, they have some other questions on their roster health-wise. You know, guys like Max Domi, McCann, you have Joel Edmondson, I believe, is on the mend right now as well. So you got some guys that, you know, bring some grit and some tenacity that are kind of question marks right now. But I think the Bruins, you know, the MO against Toronto has been pretty simple. You know, you get the puck in, dump it in the corner and go to work, and you know, they're going to break down eventually. So the Bruins have to have that intensity to really kind of pin them in their own zone, because that's where, you know, trouble happens for Toronto. They are not a good defensive zone team. Still, it's been an issue for them. So that's where they have to attack if they're going to make this a quick series from the Bruins standpoint.
So who do you think has to play well for them to be successful?
And this is a series where I really look at a guy like Trent Frederick, right? Like, Trent Frederick's had two phenomenal, you know, maybe phenomenal is a stretch, but he's had two breakout years, right, in terms of scoring, his productivity, you know, his growth as a player, playing all situations. Yet we look at his playoff numbers. He's played 9 career playoff games. He has 0 goals and 0 assists. It hasn't translated yet. So you need to see him kind of break through here, get on the board, score some big goals like he has during the season. You know, you go back, I don't have the exact number offhand right now, unfortunately, but when Trent Frederick scores, this team typically wins. Their record is something insane, like 28-5-1 when he scores a goal over the last 3 seasons. So if that happens, you know, they're going to be in a good spot. And he's in an interesting spot here, because you look at their lines right now, that third line has to produce. You know, whether that has DeBrusque or Geeky or whoever down there, Pat Maroon, JVR, it could be a number of guys. Whoever it is, though, Frederick is basically that line's top offensive threat. So he's got to be that for this team, and we got to see it in the playoffs, because there's a lot of people who like his game, and you know, there's been a lot of talk of extending him this summer. If he's not a playoff performer, it gets harder to find that right number, that right figure to, you know, sign him to a long-term deal, in my opinion. So he's got to break through. He's got to have a good playoff run. And this should be a series, you know, that allows him to do that.
Ty Anderson with us here on Downtown. As going into the playoffs, who do you think right now, at least, is the team to beat in the East?
In the East, I got to say the Rangers. I just think they're a complete team. I love their speed. I love their tenacity. They have one of the best goalies in the world in Igor Shesterkin. I really like what they can do, you know, and what's interesting about them is that their defense is very versatile, you know, in terms of how you can deploy them. You can mix and match them to get advantageous matchups pretty much all game long. And so that's going to be a team that I watch closely. I think they're a really good team. You know, I would say Carolina, but Carolina's goaltending and the overall consistency of that goaltending is a little worrisome. And they're in a matchup that is kind of weird. You know, you look at the Islanders, not a great team. The league's worst PK. They have a new coach, obviously, Patrick Waugh behind the bench there. But that could be an interesting matchup in terms of, you know, potential upset, so to speak. You know, that Islander team, they're scrappy. They're always in games, right? And if their goaltending can get white hot, look out. I mean, that's a dangerous group. So I would say Carolina, but I don't love their matchup in the first round. It could be an interesting one. So I got to go with New York and the Rangers for sure.
Maybe the biggest Bruins news of the week came off the ice with Jack Edwards announcing his retirement after 19 years. It's going to be it's going to be different to hear somebody new on there. He's been such a part of this team for nearly two decades.
Yeah, it's you kind of saw it coming. You know, Jack has been kind of open about some of the issues he's had with his speech and you know, his ability to kind of keep up with the play as a result. And that's what you really hate about it, right? Like, you want a guy to be able to go out on his own terms, as, you know, but we know that's rare, right? For a lot of guys, it's rare that you can do that, and go out on the perfect high note or on the top of your game, so to speak. But, you know, I think that with Jack, one thing you can say about him is whether you agreed or not, he brought passion, right? And when you know, you're in entertainment, you want to bring passion. You want your audience to know that you care about the subject you're talking about or announcing or, you know, whatever you're doing in life. And I think that's one thing that we'll always remember about Jack, is that he cared. He cared about the Bruins. He cared about hockey. He cared about, you know, giving the audience and the audience of Boston fans, you know, the best experience he could. And I think that's, you know, yeah, they don't like him nationally, but who cares?
Right.
The Bruins fans liked him, and that was his audience. So, you know, I think that's one thing that you loved about Jack. He didn't care. Oh, he called him a homer. Whatever. He was fine with that. He said, I'm a Bruins fan. I like the Bruins. I'm broadcasting for Bruins fans. So being authentic, I think, in an industry where it's easy to lose sight of that, to, you know, have mass appeal, I think that's what I'll remember about Jack Edwards the most, for sure.
Ty Anderson, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ty, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll catch up with you again, in about a week and a half.
Awesome. Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Ty. Bruins talk here on Downtown on this Thursday afternoon.